Good evening. Tonight is Tuesday, February 24th, 2026. This is the regular meeting of the Board of Apportionment and Taxation. I'm going to call to this meeting to order at 6:03 p.m. Can we stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with
liberty and justice for all.
Can we get a roll call?
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Borelli?
Present.
Mr. Borelli?
Yes, present.
Thank you. Mr. Roche?
Present.
Mr. Maine Izzo?
Present.
Mr. Gray? Mr. Gray?
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Mancini Wright?
Present.
Ms. Pirelli Silkoff?
Present.
Ms. Patel? Ms. Patel? Mr. Silkoff?
Present.
Ms. Simon? Ms. Simon? Ms. Wobno? You have seven members present. I see Ms. Simon's name there, but she didn't answer.
I'm here, present.
Okay. One, two, three. Eight members present.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, you're welcome.
Record should also reflect Mayor DiMartino was logged into the meeting.
Okay, thank you. Item number four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. There is no changes. Item number five, public portion. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak? Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak? Third and final, is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Public portion is now closed. Item number six, the 26-27 budget presentation by the library director.
Good evening, board. Marianne Pisarczyk Smirchuk for the Derby Public Library. Thank you all for this opportunity to present. I did have some slides to share before going into the budget. Not sure. Okay. Understood. Yep, you got it. So I just wanted to share an overview of the Derby Public Library for 2025. We had a little over 42,242 visitors in 2025. We had a total of 486 programs offered at Derby Public Library, and we issued 283 library cards. These were the slides that were presented at our library in 2025. There were 17,260 items that were checked out at the library, and we actually also were able to pull from reports what were the top books. For example, the fiction book was The Wedding People. We had Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance as the top nonfiction pick. We had graphic novels for both teens and children's, which was the most checked out and selected. We're actually on page two, Mark. And we added 1,485 items to the collection. Next page, just to break it down a little bit, We offer 202 juvenile programs. That was also during the time where our children's librarian was out on leave. And so we still were able to have programs happening. And total attendance there was 4,178. The most popular program was a Friends of the Derby Public Library sponsored event where Giggling Pig Art Studio of Shelton came through for Jingle All the Day with a great attendance there. And we were able to offer 9 new programs. On the next slide, for adult programming, we offer 246 adult programs with 24 new adult programs with almost 5,000 total adult program attendance. And the Silver Sluggers with Rich Marazzi was our top attended program. He easily brings in anywhere between 50 to 60 folks at a time. And this year, excuse me, last year in 2025, we also opened it up to Facebook Live. So we're, for those who cannot make it to the library, for whatever reason, including parking, there is an option to watch on Facebook Live. And he starts up this season again on April 2nd. It's every other Thursday from 10 to 12. And then the next slide there is just the teen zone. We had, we want to advertise that we offered 28 teen programs at the library, including Teen Game Time with Tony, and also programs such as sewing lessons that gave local teens the opportunity to take enjoy some crafts. And then the scholarship program last year, Julissa Flores was the winner of the annual senior scholarship essay contest, and she was a Derby High School senior. If we go to the next, oh, sorry.
Just for the record, the Bamini Patel entered the meeting at 6:09 p.m.
Thank you.
So this is what you see here. There are 3 pages, essentially, of the working budget for how we work on it here at the library. I know everybody has something different. These are the budget codes and line items. The mayor did ask all the department heads to work with a flat budget again this year, and we have been doing so, or trying to, and this is how we're breaking it down. The regular wages with the library director, children's librarian, and adult circulation librarian, the part-time library staff, which you'll see there are 3 Class A's, 4 Class B's, and 2 Class C positions, and of course our 2 part-time custodians. This all includes, and where the increase really is in our budget is from the salaries per the contract is 2.5%. And then as we work our way down, I've been working on trying to move line items around. The overtime for this current fiscal year, it was $8,000. I brought it down to 7,000 overtime hours. Bibliomation system, I really can't cut that at all. That's about $45,000. We've already reached our max this year. Dues.
Can I just ask
yes.
a question specifically about that?
Sure.
If last year's budget, you know, had an approval for 45,000.
Mm-hmm.
This year, you actually decreased by 1,000. And certainly mm-hmm. we appreciate, you know, lowering the budget items.
Mm-hmm.
But if I look at the actuals, there's already been spent the 444,122.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to do that?
So for this year, we actually we had a whole computer upgrade. So we increased our computers throughout the library, including the computers for the public. So this year we're, you know, we've hit our max. We don't anticipate to do that next year, hence the $1,000 less. That also would include any time with the Bibliomation IT tech person. Bibliomation is the consortium that we use. We're part of 68 other libraries. So we've done the bulk of our computer upgrade this year, and we don't anticipate going over that, hence the reason for decreasing by 1,000. I think we would be safe on that.
Okay, and I'm just curious,
Sure.
is that like a budget line item that is typically expended more so in the beginning of the year?
Yes. Come to find out, they send us all our bills in July. So the good chunk of this is done in the months of July and August, and there's usually a remainder for tech hours or what they call tech time throughout the remainder of the year. So we're looking at maybe $3,000, $4,000. But a good chunk of this, about 32, 33,000 is the maintenance of what our dues are for the Bibliomation system.
There was an NHL plaque, the best person for that was in 1996.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chuck.
And just moving down the line here, we have the dues, about $1,600. Staff development, in the last several years, from what I understand, it was $500. We've already met that, one of them being the CEN conference that one of our technology reference librarians, Mark Wiseman, goes to, which is in May. And then there are three librarians, including myself, who go to the Connecticut Library Association conferences that are normally held in April. So I hate to say it, the conferences get expensive every year. So we've already actually hit that. So, and it is ideal for us to go. I did not attend last year, but I will be attending this year. I think it is important for the director to be in attendance. Moving on to the repairs and maintenance, we have $30,000. I did not touch this at all. There's a lot of things happening at the Derby Public Library in regards to repairs and maintenance. So we're leaving this as is. So that's where we are with that page. And if there's any questions, please feel free to stop me. Here is where the annual fiber operations fees, budget code is 55305. We could reduce probably even more. This is CEN, this is the Connecticut Education Network. We fill out a E-rate or E-rebate form. Last year, due to the timing of when the previous director left, and by the time I stepped in, we missed a very important step, so we lost that. So we were responsible for every quarter to pay about $1,400. But now that we're back on track, the last bill for October, November, December was 187. We do receive a 90% discounted rate as long as we follow all the steps and file accordingly. It's money that comes through from the state, so I just we, you know we are fortunate, and by we, myself, Mark Weissman, the technology reference librarian, and Kathy Wilson, the head of circulation here, who's with in the audience today. We've all been in on these scheduled appointment meetings. In the event that something happens to me, they are able to step in and still continue the process so we don't lose the funding. Preservation, the next line item we're asking for, same, keeping it flat, $1,000. Programs and adults, excuse me, adult programs, I did ask for a slight increase. As we all know, a lot of the programming and materials budgets are going up every year. Gone are the days of trying to get someone in for $75 or $100. We did have Jeff Ballinger, who did our haunted folklore. He's been on Amazon Prime and the History Channel. He did give us a little bit of a deal, but his whole program in October was about $600, and he is local to us. So that was our biggest expense for adults. And then moving on, same thing with children's. We do try to do a lot of things in-house, but included with the programs are also purchasing materials to do in-house programs. That's where the slight increase was. Miscellaneous, just sort of how it says here. Expenses not covered elsewhere. So the east side floors, that's where we have our lovely wreaths come from that decorate our building during the holiday months. We don't necessarily use Creative Edge. They used to do our Newsletters, we now do them in-house, and we use Canva as we have a publicity coordinator, Rihanna Bennett, who does a wonderful job with our flyers, and then various vendors. And then moving on to supplies, these are, you know, office supplies. We do offer printing and copying for the public, and well, that takes up a lot of toner, cartridge, and paper mostly, to be honest with you, and other various equipment that is needed for that. And as you'll see, vendors include Amazon, WB Mason, Demco, Brodart, and others. Utilities are about $15,000. I know Brian Hall, who's not here today, but he spoke to that about potentially offsetting some of that. And, you know, he did speak with me as a department head asking if, you know, the city could take that. We'd still have eyes on it. Maybe there's going to be a better deal with more city departments in on the utility portion of this. Materials budget for adults. I did ask for a $1,000 increase. This sort of in everything that's in the library is what materials are. We've had a number of people request electronic books, the Hoopla service. That all costs money. Unfortunately, there is a bill right now happening to regulate that, because if you borrow a book, yes, it's at a very discounted price, but still we have to pay for that. And right now we're averaging about $1,000 per month for electronic material. So whether that be audiobooks that they use through Hoopla service, or books, also movies and series. So that all adds to it. Same thing with children's. I did ask for an increase. We did a huge weeding project to get the books up to date. So now we have to slowly add more books, more up-to-date books for in that collection. As for the equipment, I think I did decrease that equipment maintenance. So this would be, you know, printer, phone system, elevator service contracts, and as it says, you know, useful life of more than 1 year, including but not limited to computer software and hardware. Then we have furniture, repair, purchase. We just started purchasing some furniture. I tend to hold back on some of this stuff until we get to this point of the year. I don't want to just use up all the money and have nothing available. So we did purchase, for example, an office chair and a couple new smaller bookcases for toddler books, board books, that are easier and accessible for our youngest patrons. While the grant line item is here still, we do have a grant that we do ask from the Valley Community Foundation. So once all of this has been used, we do also supplement our materials, any repairs or maintenance, really anything, not salaries, though, that would go through the Valley Community Foundation. And we pull from that. And then the third page is just the subtotals. So we are trying to keep it through a flat budget. And the last page that you have, at least for the library, it's a working copy that Brian Hall and I were working on. The one that's on the right-hand side was a little bit more, and we are continuing to continue to whittle it down as best as we can. I'm not sure if you've have that in front of you.
I don't think we did get a copy of that.
It might be in the larger. Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. And, you know, we are trying to just move within our own budget to see where we can reallocate some of this money, the asking for anything more from the city aside from the salaries.
Thank you very much. And I do appreciate your fiscal consideration, especially in light of where we're at, certainly with our taxes, tax base. Just curious, more than anything, as far as the grants that come in, what would be a typical year for those?
So it's the one it's from the Library Endowment Fund, to be honest with you, and we can draw from that. It's not my money, it's the library's money. So traditionally it's been anywhere between 30 to $35,000 that can be drawn. We did ask the board did approve that we did ask for $35,000 this year again to use from that fund.
For this current year?
For 26, 27,
Okay.
excuse me. Yes. And we're not allowed to draw past a certain amount, and that will change obviously year to year. But the board has also been very fiscally conservative in that matter as well. And normally that could have been used for books, materials. I know the previous director a couple years ago used it to restore the original front doors. And that was about, from what I understand, about $20,000, $24,000. So some of that money, well, a good chunk of that grant money, endowment fund money went into to those doors. So it could be used for anything aside from salaries.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have any questions?
No, it's a very nice presentation.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you all. Have a good evening.
Okay, moving on to item number 7, 26-27 budget presentation from Parks and Rec.
Good evening. I'm Dennis O'Connell, City of Derby Parks and Rec Director. You guys have my budget, correct?
Yes.
I wasn't going to go through each and every line item. I've been writing this budget for 34 years, so any question that anybody has, please feel free. For the second year in a row, have offered a flat budget. In our budget, our heavyweight line items, I'll call them, are building supplies and then repairs and maintenance. Building supplies mostly features the supplies for our swimming pool at Derby Veterans Community Center. And of course, repairs and maintenance speak for themselves. We manage three buildings, that particular line item represents expenses pertaining to those three buildings. Again, it's a flat budget. We do have two budgets that we work with. One is the, we call the regular Parks and Recreation budget, and the other one is Ryan Complex, which includes Payden Fieldhouse. Make money. Recreation receivables is where you would see that in the records. We, in the past 3 or 4 years, we average, I would think, about $90,000 a year. Primarily, our number one revenue producer is our swim lesson program, which we do an awful lot. One of our problems is that we can't really keep our pool healthy, because otherwise we would do really good. But anyway, we do generate pretty good revenue, and we hand that into the city, and that shows up as recreation receivables. Brian Hall, we moved a whole bunch of line items into what he called buckets, which is very helpful to me. It gives increased flexibility. These are grouped together with line items that kind of resemble one another. So that is a helpful tool for me. Does anybody have any questions?
If I'm looking at youth sports, it seems like in 25, 26, there was 1,500 allocated. For next year, it's going to be 5,000.
I'm not aware of that. 1,500 from last year?
Correct.
Okay.
Line item 56945.
Because that represents the two items below it. I think. Yeah, it represents the two youth basketball and equipment. Okay, so that's actually, okay, what that is that's, it's $9,000 reduced to five. Okay, do you see, you have youth sports, correct?
Yeah, I do see where you're saying now
yeah.
underneath.
Yeah,
because like they were separate line items as
they
opposed
were.
To.
And that gets back to the bucket situation.
He did tell us that he was.
Yeah, when you see nothing, they're in the bucket.
Okay.
One of the buckets. Okay.
So there was a reduction of fourth.
There is. Listen, our participation with our youth is, not really that good compared to yesteryear. Okay. So there's an awful lot of fundraising going on by our programs. And in order for us to meet our obligation to the city, we needed to take some money from the programs. They don't have the numbers they used to. I'll tell you this, they shake the bushes, but they just don't get them. Okay. There's not like a lack of effort. By no means is that the case. It's just not the same as we're used to.
Got it.
And is it about the decrease for Little League and
that's right.
Pop Warner?
That's right. Yeah. We have a reduction in teams. I don't know. Pop Warner had one tackle team. Little League has one 12-year-old team. They're combining with Ansonia, Little League. We combine with Ansonia for youth basketball. Otherwise, we wouldn't have it. Okay?
Sure.
That's what we need to do, and we do. So in order to meet the obligation, we had to make some tough calls. But they're appropriate, in my opinion. Is there anything else that I could talk about?
Just those youth sports, youth basketball and equipment, those lines are very confusing the way it's written. I understand that all the first three columns there fall under that bucket. It looks like there was a reduction of 4,000, right? Because it shows 5,000.
Right.
But then if you go over to the last column there, which has budget variance, it shows 3,500 negative. And then 4,500 and 3,000. So it's very confusing the way it shows.
Well, if you add them up, I get 9. Do you? 1,000.
Which column?
The three, youth sports and down. There's three items in that
right.
new bucket.
Yep, I get that.
And they equaled 9,000 previously. Now it's going to be 5,000.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what the 3,500,
I
don't know.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's just a weird.
Yeah. It's $4,000 difference.
Right.
Okay.
But it's showing it in a negative direction rather than a positive direction.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, that's okay.
Any questions?
I don't know.
Your questions in?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to item number eight, 26-27 budget presentation from Police Chief Deputy.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. I just wanted to quickly give you a little bottom line up front, as the Deputy Chief Grogan will actually be presenting the budget, because it will be his budget come July, because I won't be here. So basically, you see, we're looking at a 1.24% increase. We always do our best to keep it flat, but we have $77,000 in contractual raises that for us to come flat, it would actually be a layoff of a police officer, because roughly 96% of our entire budget is wages. So there is just no fat in our budget to come in at a zero. And Deputy Chief Grogan will be going over that. In addition to the 1.24%, the deputy chief will present you with two programmatic changes we're requesting. One is the addition of two new police officers, and the second is a return to the school resource officer program. Commissioner DeGennaro, who's here tonight, and the police commission asked us to consider implementing the SRO program again. We, I believe, are the only Valley town that does not have a school resource officer. It's a great program. It was discontinued years ago, mainly because of financial problems. So we're hoping to do that. In order to implement that program, we're going to be asking for an additional amount in our overtime account. The reason for that is because when we are at minimum staffing, if the whomever is going to be the school resource officer is at the schools, we would have to backfill that individual with overtime. It is not a huge amount of money we're talking about, but in order for the program to actually be successful, it would be necessary. And again, Deputy Chief Grogan will go into that with more detail. So with that, I'd like to hand it over to him, unless anyone has anything for me right off the bat. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. Good evening, board. How would you guys like me to go through it line by line, or do you just want to talk about the increases, decreases?
So an awful lot of lines, but
yeah, that's what I mean.
If you,
yeah,
yeah, if you want to talk about the ones that are more, you know, most important.
Sure. As the column all the way to the right, that I believe is in green, I'm not sure if it's on yours, mm-hmm. talks about our contractual bargaining agreement increases. So as the chief said, well, there was a 3% increase that was within the contract. The total contractual bargaining agreement was just over $77,000. Our proposed budget, which we have here, is an increase of $61,000. We had a proposed $30,240 decrease coming from our accreditation manager. So with the police accountability bill, we had hired an accreditation manager to get us to tier three, which is policies and standards going through. We're at that point. They were supposed to have done the tier three review in December. They pushed it back, but we have her. She's until June 30th, and she's paid hourly, so it's not incurring any costs unless she works, and we're already where we at for the standard. So we're no longer going to be going with her. She fulfilled her contract. And supernumerary, we have a decrease of approximately $6,000. We no longer have any supernumeraries left within that program. So the last one we had retired just before the start of our budget last year. We had budgeted for him, not knowing that he was going to retire, and he did. You'll see a decrease in sick time cash out. That's just based on officers have the availability to cash in sick days if they have accumulated to a certain amount. Longevity goes with that. Longevity pay is based on years of service. From years past, we have a younger department at the moment, so you'll see a couple officers not have the years of service yet to get the longevity pay. We do have an increase we're proposing in training and development for $2,900. That goes towards our training.
and we'll be hiring two officers. We had one officer recently resign, and with the chief's departure, we're going to be requiring two officers. Post charge is $3,800 per officer, so we're anticipating at least two, so we're going to have to increase that line. The other bump other than salary one is
I have a question.
sure.
For accreditation manager,
Yep.
can you talk about that? You want me to give you the line number or?
No, I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, you just see how it's a zero.
Yeah, but it shows a 30,000.
Yeah, so we're accreditation manager. That's what I was saying. We had hired a woman to get us through accreditation to the standards where that we need to be. It was a 4-year thing. She has us at all the standards. Now that we have all the policies in place and everything, we could have one of the officers manage it from there on. Managing is pretty much updating the policies year by year, making sure we're in compliance. We have to show proofs and submit them to the state. And any new policies, part of the software that we have now has an AI component in it. And to be honest with you, we're really not reinventing the wheel. You could kind of take some of these other department ones and customize them towards us.
So is that a negative for this year or no?
This year moving forward, it will be a zero, yeah. Opposed to
Okay.
25, 26, that was 30,000. This year, 26, 27 will be a zero.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, and as far as the resource officer, do we currently have
Sure. So with,
security in the schools?
yeah, so currently there's SSOs. Each school has them. That's a school security officer. They're armed security in the schools. Those are going to stay. We worked with Doc to come up with a program. We're not looking to take anybody's job away from whatsoever. This is more of reintroducing SRO, whereas a mentor, someone to build relationships with, positive interactions. They'll help co-teach certain things. It's important to go talk to the SRO. They'll get a sense of what's going on the streets, and it bounces back and forth as far as what's going on in the school if it spills over to the streets. But we see it as it's a huge mentorship and building positive interactions with the kids. So they're comfortable coming to us and talking to us.
Okay, and do each of the schools have one?
SSOs are in all of the schools. Yeah, it's primarily how we're
Is it
seeing it.
one in each or two?
The campus has.
One in each school and then a head SSO who mainly spends the majority of the time on the campus but oversees the other four individuals.
So our vision for it is primarily they'll stay on the high school, middle school campus and be there for availability for anything. And then pop in at the elementary schools as needed to read books and whatever they're looking for us to assist. But a big component of what we do is community engagement. It's very important to be out there and to be seen in positive light. So with the budget numbers, do you guys have any questions as far as the budget that stands there?
Assistant Chief, this is Mike Gray. Just another quick question about the SRO. So the SRO is already an officer on staff, most likely. So it's not going to impact the budget that way. But I believe I heard the chief say that it might put a little bit more into overtime, but I don't
Yes.
see an increase in overtime on the budget.
Correct. So we were asked for the mayor and Brian to come in with a flat budget. They said, obviously, this is meeting one.
Yep.
Any recommendations that we had, we could bring up at this point, and you guys as a board could talk about it and decide. I could easily present those numbers with you in the future. I could forward them to everybody, see what the impact would be on the budget.
That would be great. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yep, no problem. So as the chief introduced, I'm going to propose that we raise our staffing. We currently have 34 police officers. The commonly accepted benchmark for police staffing within the Northeast is approximately 2.7 officers per 1,000 residents. Based on Derby's approximate population of 13,200, we should be staffed with 35.64 officers, rounding it up to 36. It would align us with the common standard in the area. For comparison-wise, Ansonia Police Department has 49 police officers. Seymour has 41 police officers. Obviously, each city has unique comparison, unique staffing and needs, but I think this will get us closer aligned with the other departments. Since 2020, the police accountability bill, you'll hear me refer back to it. There was a substantial increase that was placed on police departments, mostly unfunded mandates. The operational and administrative demands that are put on the police department have increased. Current and policy and statutory requirements include de-escalation, body-worn cameras, and dash cams, which cause review and audit within the police department. The detailed use of force reporting, pursuit reporting, lethality assessment, risk warrants and protective orders, expanded documentation and compliance comes with most of the stuff. So these mandates require significant supervisory oversight and administrative time, which must be absorbed within our existing staffing levels. Year after year, I know it's a common thing to say, we're given more to do more with less. But understand, each one of these mandates take time, which essentially takes an officer off the road. I spoke about supernumerary officers. Historically, the PD has used supernumerary officers to supplement staffing and assist on scenes. Over the past 10 to 15 years, through attrition and retirement, the program has been eliminated. We currently have no supers. As I said, the last one retired last year. While once a beneficial program, it's no longer viable. The PD now relies solely on full-time officers to meet our staffing and service demands. The PD continues, another thing that we're looking to change within it, but it will need additional staffing to prevent. We use an officer in charge bottle. In absence of a sergeant, the most senior officer on duty assumes command of the shift, regardless of supervisory training or experience. It's not a common practice, and I believe it opens the city to significant liability, where it's not uncommon for an officer to have 3 or 4 years of experience overseeing the entire shift. So we were talking evening shift, midnight shift, him or her is in charge of the entire city. As OICs are required to make supervisory decisions without having received formal training, the structure presents organizational risk, particularly in high liability situations, which involve use of force, report, pursuits, critical incidents. Our sergeants have significantly more supervisory training and are better equipped to manage those responsibilities. Some background just about the police department. Currently, we have 5 patrol sergeants. One of them works a swing shift. I could tell you from experience, the swing shift is not healthy to work as far as sleep cycle, because they work 2 midnight shifts and 2 evening shifts. So you never get that quality of sleep. All sergeants, as all patrol officers, work a 4-2 schedule. Admin, we work a 5-2 schedule. This means evening or midnight sergeant takes a day off. Currently, the way we run, there's no sergeant working. So they frequently operate without a trained supervisor and run an OIC program. By increasing staffing by 2, we intend to promote an additional sergeant, which would put 2 sergeants per shift, which will allow for that coverage. It essentially gives us a 50% increase in the likelihood a sergeant will be working at any time, because there's an overlap of the 2 days. Within that overlap, that will cover and reduce some of the overtime costs we anticipate, and also give those sergeants the opportunity to do some of their administrative tasks that they're required to do. Big part of it reduces the liability within the city by having a trained supervisor working. Another thing about the PD, our minimum staffing level is 4 personnel per shift. Within that 4, 1 is a dispatcher, 1 is a supervisor, and 2 are on patrol. So essentially, there's only 3 patrols when we're at minimum patrolling the streets. Operating near minimum staffing limits our proactive enforcement and our community efforts. As I stressed before, community engagement is a big part of what we do. It increases our reliance on overtime, reduces our operational flexibility, and it restricts our ability to address emerging issues. Thus, we tend to rely on mutual aid for assistance often. And an ancillary benefit, if we were to increase staffing by 2, Chief and I could confidently say we could reduce our overtime request by $50,000. Moving on to the SRO program, the Board of Police Commissioners approved the reintroduction for it. The last time we had an SRO was 2013. We have not asked for a cost sharing from the school district and intend to absorb the assignment through us. But if the increasing staffing is denied, we're going to request a $38,000 increase in overtime to fund the SRO coverage for the 9-month school year. It essentially equates to roughly 2 overtime shifts per week to backfill that officer that's going to be assigned to the SRO program. Without that funding, the PD may be forced to implement a modified SRO program, which the officer will respond to schools only when patrol staffing exceeds minimum levels. Such an approach would undermine the continuity and consistency that are essential for an SRO program. Therefore, I do not believe the modified model will be best for the city. Understand a full-time SRO provides immense benefits to the school, the police department, the city, as positive interactions are proven to lead to increased relationship building and mentorship. Obviously, at the end of the day, everything comes down to money. That's why we're all here, all the department heads. It is important to mention that a year ago, during contract negotiations, the union agreed to permit the city to add a $15 per hour administrative surcharge to all private duty and construction deals details. These funds go back to the city and not the PD. Just as revenue generated from March 30th when the contract was signed to June 30th, the city made $63,000 just off the officer's surcharge. And then for that year, 24-25, they made $87,000 in the vehicle surcharge for a net 24-25 revenue of $150,000, approximate. From July 1 till today, the city has billed the surcharge for $232,000 so far this year, still with 4 months left to go. Again, all these funds are returned to the city and represent a meaningful revenue stream that could help offset personnel-related costs. I conclude by recommending the increase in staffing levels from 34 to 36. It'll align us with regional benchmarks, address statutory and reporting mandates. It'll strengthen our supervisory coverage and reduce liability exposure. It'll help enhance our proactive policing and community presence and support consistent and effective SRO program. Overall, our proposal reflects operational necessity, fiscal awareness, and long-term organizational stability. I respectfully request a favorable consideration, and as I mentioned, I'll be able to provide those numbers, how they'll impact the budget. Does anybody have any questions?
Before you have questions, the record should reflect Mrs. Wobno entered the meeting at 6:37 p.m. And just for clarity, is that stuff that was in the packet, the stuff you, these new things?
That was not.
It's not. Okay.
I could provide that as well.
Okay. No, I want to make sure it wasn't missing out of what we had.
What was over?
Oops.
Just a point of clarity here. I want to make it clear, especially if there's anyone from the Board of Alders that's listening. Our staffing is governed by the city charter, and it clearly says the Board of Alders are the only ones that can approve an actual increase in our staffing levels. So this is just the beginning of a discussion for your board. We've always, as Mark, I'm sure, can attest to, which comes first, the chicken or the egg. You know, if you fund it, do they have to allow us to hire two new? No, I don't think they do. But just want to make that clear. So, you know, we're not stepping on the feet of the Board of Alders. It's just an opportune time to start the discussion with your board before we move on to even entertaining it with the Board of Alders.
Thank you. So am I understanding correctly that none of the documents we have here do include the additional position?
It does not reflect those, but I could get those for you tomorrow.
Okay. And one other question. Is it possible, because we see what the 25-26 is, we see what the proposed is for 26-27, we see whether it's an increase or decrease. Mm-hmm. Do you have an actual year-to-date expenditure for each line item?
Not with me, no.
Yeah, I believe that there's what was you. The finance director did say that he did have that because you wanted it from the last meeting up to January. It was to December, but he got it to January.
Yeah, and we do have them for the other departments. I was just curious why it's not in here. So maybe it's.
I'm not sure exactly if he put it all, the whole budget together that way. I don't know what, but I know he talked about that, but I'm not sure.
This letter still here that shows the January.
Okay. You do have it here. Thank you. Okay. Any questions?
The last thing I have, we have the auxiliary budget. Mm-hmm. So that's coming in flat, same as last year. If you need a breakdown of what each are, I can let you know.
And how many do we have?
6 to 7 at the moment.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, moving on to item number 9, 2627, budget presentation, Superintendent of Derby Schools.
Good evening, everyone. I'll be presenting our budget tonight, answering any questions that you might have. And if there's kind of line item specific questions, John Spang, our interim business manager, who has helped us out quite a bit over the past couple of weeks, is here to answer questions as well.
Doc, before you get started, I'm just curious, is there a line item budget? Like, I do have this overview. I don't think we got
only from the Board of Ed. The committee just gets the by object and by school. We can certainly provide a line item, but the responsibility of the line item falls with the Board of Ed. This committee is approving an overall dollar amount for the budget, but we can certainly provide a line item if it's requested. We just normally have it as part of our presentation for the budget.
Okay. Yep. If you could, though, I sure. think we would like.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And you might have questions even tonight or later on in terms of even by object, what falls under each of those different object categories also might help information-wise as well.
Okay.
All right. So overall, enrollment is staying relatively flat. If we were to maintain all current services within our budget for this year, just looking at inflation alone for all the different items by object or by cost center, you're looking at a $1.2 million increase. Given the charge set by this administration, by the mayor, to try and come in with a zero, met with our admin team. $1.2 million is a significant amount to try and get to with any budget and with some unknown variables. So what you have before you tonight is a request for a 1.79% increase. It's about a quarter of your $1.2 million that was actually needed if we kept all current services and positions in place. Just to get to this 366, there'll be a significant number of cuts that we'll have to make to get to this number, because the only way you can make up that much of a difference is really comes down to salaries in our budget. We've already in past years cut supplies to a bare minimum, and now we're moving into an area where we've already moved positions out of operating into grants that belong in operating to satisfy prior year's budgets. 2 years ago, if you remember, we took the opportunity to move positions that belong in any municipality's operating budget, a core classroom grade level teacher. We moved them back into the budget so that our operating budget appropriately reflects what the cost of this it is to educate kids today. And now we find ourselves having to revert back to moving positions out of or reducing positions, period. So this budget represents a reduction of positions. The only item we moved from a grant into operating this year, as you can see on your sheet, is for Unified Sports. That's about a $2,700 cost for that program that we've put into our schools approximately three to four years ago, and have expanded it into all the schools. But we think it belongs in the operating budget as opposed to continue to fund it out of grants.
Okay, and where are you talking on? This page right here?
No, if we can scroll down, right? Scroll up, I should say, Mark, thank you. One or two more, and one more. There you go, right here. It lists it as Unified Sports.
Doc, right now, where is Unified Sports?
It's in grants. Yeah. And it's been there since we started the program, which was appropriate when you first start a program, but it's now a core part of what we provide our kids. Yeah, it really is. So we have moved that. But again, it's in when you're looking at a $20 million budget, it's $2,700 that we feel appropriately belongs in that operating budget. Because one of the big variables still before every municipality, every school district in the state today is the unknown in terms of the budget from the state. So even though they had a two-year biennium budget, the second year of that biennium, there was no additional dollars in ECS funding. And that was set back 8 years ago. So maybe not realizing it was going to fall in the second year of a biennium, but there's $0 today allocated for any additional ECS funding for any district in the state. We have already testified in front of two different committees, the Appropriations Committee last Tuesday and the Education Committee this past Friday. Again, asking for the additional ECS dollars as well as excess cost. Excess cost funding is only at 62%. You'll see it dropped from 800,000 down to 600 plus thousand year over year from this current year to next year's budget. That's a guess at best for every district in terms of the excess cost. So those two items we were testifying before both of those committees to fund them at the appropriate level so that it's not left up to municipalities, especially a economically disadvantaged municipality to be able to fund those two unknowns. Excess cost is on this page. So it's the fourth one down on this page. Goes from 830 to 689. And that is, again, a guess. So we won't know that number until October of 26, what that actually will be. So the only thing you can do as a district is use what you've received the previous year. And that covers your some special ed costs once you've already spent 4.5 times the per pupil expenditure for a student, then you'll get 62 cents on the dollar for each dollar after that you have to spend. And when you see the cost of some of our special education programs, the average cost today is $148,000 per student. So what the 366 represents is it is the bare minimum. We can't While we made cuts to get to that, making any additional cuts beyond what we've already made, we can't open up classrooms without those positions. And those are both certified and non-certified personnel and support personnel in those classrooms. Whether there are employees or contracted employees, we have to use a combination of both because we can't always find individuals to fill the positions. Anything less than what we've done here tonight is not safe for our classrooms, for our staff and our kids. We're at a bare minimum. You can see the different line items. There's very little fluctuation between those. Where we could cut, we made the cuts.
Well, and I think that's, you know, just one of my questions is we're not able to see the line items. We're not able to see, you know, a detailed budget as was presented by, you know, the library, by the police.
Right.
So it's hard to determine, you know, how many positions I think you mentioned there's cuts to this year.
Correct.
Budget. How many? Do you know where they are, what they are?
I do. I don't discuss them publicly because we have not talked to staff about those at this point and won't until we know this is what we need to do. So because should we not even get approved by the 1.79%, that changes the scenario again. And with each cut comes bumping within contractual rights. So while we may be cutting a particular position, the person in that position may have seniority and may then end up bumping somebody else in another position at another school within our district. So I don't want to create anxiety and fear within our current amazing staff until we absolutely know what that number is going to be and what those cuts are absolutely going to look like, because there's different variables.
Okay, and in the money that's available from the non-lapsing account.
So, yes.
Is there a projected amount?
There is. So from the audit numbers that we're looking at today, that still has to be finalized by the end of this month, the auditor has, his number matches our number that we presented to this board last year, which we thought was going to be about 209,000. It looks like that's where we're going to fall. It's somewhere right around the 209,000.
Okay, so the 366, is that taking into consideration the two? So if that does come to play, then the 366 will be reduced by the 209?
It could be. That would be up to the Board of Education.
Okay.
Yep.
And then I think it was like three meetings back, I had listened in, and it seemed like there was an additional grant funding that maybe was unexpected.
That was priority school district funding. So thank you for listening. PSD funding, that's for this year. We don't know about that for next year. So at this particular point, PSD funding is based on the number of families within a community that apply for temporary family assistance, TFA program, and receive it. That number changes every year. Derby tends to go from, and only the bottom 11 districts in the state who percentage-wise have the highest number of families applying for the assistance receive that funding. Derby, over the past 8 years, has gone in and out of that 11th spot to 12. When you hit 12, you don't get the funding. And we've gone back into 11 after not getting it of a particular year. So it's... it's hard to predict, and it's hard to budget for. There has been years where we were told, like this past year, you didn't make the bottom 11. You're not getting your funding, to then being told, oh, you did. Sorry. We were looking at the wrong numbers. You are going to get your funding. Last year, if I have this all correct, the anticipation of presenting last year's budget was to count on that 209. While that audit is still happening, and until that audit is finished, you can't count on the 209. But fortunately, we did get the PSD fund, a portion of the PSD funding to be able to make up any differences. So last year, we were able to come in with a zero because of that. But and we also knew last year at this time what we were going to be getting for Alliance District grant funding. We knew it was going to be about $399,000 for, not Alliance District grant. Maybe it was the PSD. I'm trying to think. PSD, right around $399. Am I correct? $399. So we don't have that information this year on Alliance. I'm sorry. Our Alliance increase was $399. We don't know what that increase. Right now it's zero for any Alliance District. We don't know what that'll be, and we won't know until May. So we have a couple scenarios with the cuts that we've made. All the way down to the 1.79 bottom line cuts. If we are fortunate to get an increase in the Alliance funding, here's what principals would recommend putting back that they didn't want to have to cut to begin with, because you're pulling resources out of the classrooms. You're cutting certified and non-certified staff that are currently in the classrooms working with kids every day. But you have to make the cuts somewhere, and they have to be meaningful cuts to, looking at this dollar amount. Everything else has gone up through inflation. And it's no different as a community. The state is dealing with this as well. They have not increased the base of ECS to account for inflation since 2013. That's our other push, that they have to not only increase it, but you've got to increase your base that hasn't been touched since 2013 to account for inflation year over year for all these years. So we'll have that information in the first week in May. We'll be continuing to lobby every day and every week for those additional dollars. But right now, I don't even have a prediction of what those might be. If they were to give us the same this coming year as last year, it would be around $399,000. But I would use that to put necessary services back in the classroom that we've removed, trying to get this to a zero for the committee. And I shared a report with a committee, with the Board of Aldermen a couple weeks back, and with our Board of Education. The Accountability Index report is what the state, how the state grades each district. And there's 22 indicators as a district in that report. We have a lot of work to do, and always will have a lot of work to do. But we went up in 20 of the 22 indicators that were graded on. And in some cases, double-digit increases. And in almost every single one of those, at a rate higher than the average in the state and our DIRG. So we have a lot of good things in place. We're ripping a lot of those good things because they're not core classroom. In some cases, they are. Others, they're not. Teachers to get to the bare minimum. But they are things we have seen have helped the district and our kids grow academically, behaviorally, over years. But 20 out of 22, they went up in them.
That's phenomenal.
So.
Okay, yeah, if you could get us like a...
Absolutely, John will send it over tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. And it's normally presented this way because just statutorily the Board of Ed does the line by line, which is different from every other budget in a municipality. You do the line by line. In Connecticut, the Board of Ed is responsible for the line by line. The Board of Finance for the city is responsible for the number. Whether they approve it or not, as opposed to looking at individual lines within a budget. So I like sharing everything, so I'll share it out. Yeah.
Does anybody have questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, item number 10, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Ashley, I'll motion.
Okay, we have a motion made by Jerry, seconded by Ashley. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Meeting called at 7:13 p.m. Thank you.